Here's Nancy DeMoss-Walgamuth with news about God that may seem too good to be true.
How many sins has he freed us from? All of them. You say, even mine? Yes, even yours, even mine, the ones everyone knows about, the sins no one knows about, the things you've kept hidden, the things that you couldn't keep hidden. In him, we have been freed from our sins by his blood, and he has made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss-Walgamuth, author of Lies Women Believe and the Truth That Sets Them Free. For August 7th, 2020, I'm Dana Gresh. Nancy, your book, Lies Women Believe and the Truth That Sets Them Free, addresses the lies we as women can easily slip into. In fact, I'm going to go ahead and say it's safe to say we start believing many of those lies from the time we're very little.
No question about that. In their lives, we grow up believing about our circumstances, our emotions, about family relationships, about priorities, about sin, and even, and maybe most importantly, lies we believe about God.
And in your book, after looking at each lie, you also spend some time examining the truth, what God's word has to say about those things.
Exactly. Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
Well, one of the lies you talk about in the book is this one: God can't forgive what I've done. And I think it's a really important issue, and it affects a lot of women. You're going to address it as we continue the series, Rahab and the Thread of Redemption.
Yeah, Dana, I really believe God is going to use this passage to set many women free from that lie and to see that God can forgive whatever they may have done. Now, before we jump into today's teaching, I want to just make a note about the title of this series, Rahab and the Thread of Redemption. I first came across that concept years ago when I read about a sermon by an old-time preacher. He's been with the Lord for many years now. And the story goes that he once began preaching a sermon at 7:30 in the evening, and at midnight, he was still going on the same sermon. That sermon was entitled, The Scarlet Thread Through the Bible. It was, of course, a reference to this passage that we've been looking at in the life of Rahab.
Oh, I love that, Nancy. Well, I hope you have your Bible open. Here's Nancy picking up as she reads from Joshua chapter 2.
She said to the spies who had come to check out the land of Canaan, she said, I know that your God is the true God. I know that he's going to give the land into the hands of the Israelites. I know that Jericho is going to be judged, she says by implication, that it's going to be destroyed. But she had come to believe in the God of Israel and wanted to become a part of the people of God. And so she begged for mercy. She said, please spare me and please spare my family. And when judgment comes, would you allow us to live? She knew she didn't deserve to live. But by God's mercy and his grace, as he had planted faith in her heart, he said, I will extend mercy to you. And God, through those spies, spoke to her and said, there are three conditions you have to meet. Number one, take the scarlet cord, tie it in the window, let it hang down over the wall of your house. And you remember that her house was actually perched on the top of the double city wall that was built to fortify the city of Jericho. So it was hanging down. So as you would come to the outside of the city, outside the wall, you would see this scarlet cord hanging down. And then he says, you have to bring all your family members into the house, your father, your mother, your brothers, and your sisters. She names all those and all who belonged to her. I don't know how big her house was. I don't know how many relatives she had, but she gathered them all together. And they said, they must be in the house when judgment comes or they will not be spared. And then the spy said to her, you cannot tell anyone. You must keep this a secret. So those were the conditions. And as soon as those men left her house to go back to the Israelite camp, what's the first thing she did? She tied the scarlet cord in the window. The fact that she had genuine, saving faith was evidenced by this act of obedience. And so we read in Joshua chapter 2, verse 18, where the spies said to her, "You shall tie this scarlet cord in the window." And we talked in the last session about how that scarlet cord can represent our sinfulness, our shame, our guilt, kind of marked Rahab the prostitute's house as an ancient red light district, if you will, and how so many people get stuck in the shame and guilt for their sin and never come to see that the scarlet cord was intended to be a type, a symbol of more than her sin. More than that, it was intended to be a symbol of her only means of salvation, which we see through the scripture is the blood of Jesus Christ shed in the place of sinners. So from the first century on, commentators and church fathers saw this scarlet cord as being a symbol, a type of the blood of Jesus, a symbol of the mercy of God that redeems us from the guilt and the shame of sin, a symbol of deliverance that is possible for those who believe, deliverance from the righteous wrath of God, deliverance from the bondage to our sin. And we hear from Revive Our Hearts listeners all the time who are in sinful bondages, sexual addictions, drug addictions, or their children are, or their grandchildren are, and they're crying out, "How can we get set free?" It's the blood of Jesus Christ that is our lifeline, our life preserver, our only hope of salvation. And that scarlet thread runs all the way through the Bible. And I want to just trace a bit of that scarlet thread with you in this session. Let me just touch on some individual points in the scripture where we see that scarlet thread being woven through all of God's word. Beginning back in the first book of the Bible, in the book of Genesis chapter 3, we find ourselves in the Garden of Eden, where Adam and Eve have sinned. They've tried to hide from God, and they're ashamed. They're feeling guilty because they are guilty. So they have sewed together fig leaves to make clothes to cover their nakedness. But God said, "That's not good enough. That won't cover." And so God made coats of skin for Adam and Eve, and in order to do that, he had to shed the blood of an animal. And we see here this first symbol, the scarlet thread is beginning to be woven throughout the pages of Scripture. And we're reminded, as the spies said to Rahab, "You shall tie this scarlet cord in the window." And then we come to the next chapter, Genesis chapter 4, where Adam and Eve's two children bring sacrifices to God. Abel brings a lamb from his flock. His brother Cain brings vegetables from his garden. God receives Abel's offering of a lamb, but he rejects Cain's offering. Why? Because a lamb has blood that can be shed, and God wanted an offering, a sacrifice of blood. And we're reminded, "You shall tie this scarlet cord in the window." God wanted to see the scarlet cord, and then he would pass over judging the sinner. And then we come in Genesis chapter 17 to what for many is considered perhaps an odd passage where God institutes the rite of circumcision. And God says to Abraham, "Every male among you shall be circumcised. You shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised. Every male throughout your generations shall surely be circumcised. Any uncircumcised male who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant." So when God establishes his covenant with his people, how is it to be sealed? How is it to be symbolized? At the age of 8 days, every male Jewish boy would have to be circumcised, would have to shed blood as a sign of entering into this covenant with God. And so again, we see God in the early stages of the scripture saying, "You shall tie this scarlet cord in the window. And when I see it, I will remember my covenant. When I see it, I will pass over your house and your sins. I will not judge you. I will not destroy you because you have this scarlet cord in the window." Now, these are all just symbols in the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant. They're pointing us to something that is yet to come, but they're powerful and important symbols for our faith. We come to Genesis chapter 22, and we see the passage where Abraham is told by God to offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice. And as they approach the place where the sacrifice is to be made, Isaac says to his father, "Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" He knew that blood had to be shed, and typically that would be the blood of a lamb. And Abraham said, "God will provide himself the ram for a burnt offering, my son." And you remember the story of how Abraham ties Isaac on the altar. He takes the knife to slaughter his son, at which moment the Lord interrupts him. An angel of the Lord calls out to him from heaven. Abraham looks up, and a ram is caught in the thicket by his horns. And God says, "That's what you're to offer." So verse 13 of Genesis 22, Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. Instead of his son. The ram becomes a substitute. Its blood is shed instead of Isaac's. And we are reminded, "You shall tie this scarlet cord in the window." The substitute will shed its blood. And when God saw that scarlet cord in the window, he said, "The blood has been shed. There's a substitute. I will pass over this house and not require the blood of Rahab and her family." We come to the Passover in Exodus chapter 12, and we reference this in the last session. Moses called all the elders of Israel and said to them, "Go and select lambs for yourselves according to your clans and kill the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and touch the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. None of you shall go out of the door of his house until the morning." Does that remind you of what the spies said to Rahab? Your family must be in your house, and this scarlet cord must be hanging out. And when we see that, we will pass over your house. Moses says to the elders of Israel, "The Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians." To strike the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to enter your houses to strike you. And so the children of Israel celebrated the Passover every year. "You shall tie this scarlet cord in the window." Exodus chapter 24, after God gave the law to the children of Israel, he established a covenant with his people. And Hebrews chapter 9 refers back to this incident. Listen to how it's described in Hebrews. "When every commandment of the law had been declared by Moses to all the people, he took the blood of calves and goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, 'This is the blood of the covenant that God commanded for you. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins.'" Tie this scarlet cord in the window. In the Old Testament, back to the Old Testament, God established the tabernacle and later the temple for the children of Israel. Whenever the Israelites sinned against God's law, what did they do? They had to bring an innocent animal and offer it up as a sin offering. And what would the Jewish believer do? He would place his hand on the head of that animal, a goat or a lamb. And in doing so, he was identifying himself with that animal, and he was signifying that he was laying his sins, transferring his sins onto that innocent substitute. And then they would kill the animal. And then Leviticus 4 tells us the priest shall take some of the blood of the sin offering with his finger and put it on the horns of the altar of burnt offering and pour out all the rest of its blood at the base of the altar. And the priest shall make atonement for him for the sin which he has committed, and he shall be forgiven. Forgiveness. That's what this is about. Forgiveness by means of the blood being shed of a substitute. Again and again and again and again, the people of Israel for hundreds of years shed these sacrifices. Innocent lambs, innocent goats. They laid their sin on those animals. They killed the animals. They put the blood on the altar. And then the priest would say, "You are atoned for. You are forgiven." What was happening is they were slaying those animals, as they were offering those sacrifices, again and again they were tying the scarlet cord in the window. And then one day a year, there would be a special sacrifice, a special offering, the Day of Atonement. You read about it in Leviticus chapter 16. And on that day, the priest would go into the Holy of Holies, the most sacred place, the only day of the year that the priest could enter into that place. And he would go into that place where the Ark of the Covenant was and the mercy seat, and he would take an offering for his own sin and then another offering on behalf of all the people. And Leviticus 16 tells us, he shall take some of the blood of the bull and sprinkle it with his finger on the front of the mercy seat on the east side. And in front of the mercy seat, he shall sprinkle some of the blood with his finger 7 times. Then he shall kill the goat of the sin offering that is for the people and bring its blood inside the veil and do with its blood as he did with the blood of the bull, sprinkling it over the mercy seat and in front of the mercy seat. Boy, as you read through the Old Testament, you say, that's a lot of killing. That's a lot of blood. You know why? Because there are a lot of sinners. A lot of sinners who deserve to die. And a Jehovah God who has a lot of mercy. You shall tie this scarlet cord in the window. Now, all of those Old Testament symbols and types were merely shadows that pointed toward the blood redemption of Jesus Christ, the sinless Lamb of God. For Hebrews 10 tells us, it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. They couldn't really forgive sin. God would forgive those worshipers because they were looking forward to the day when Jesus Christ would shed his blood. He would be God's scarlet cord in the window. And so in the upper room, at that Last Supper where Jesus celebrated the Passover with his disciples, Matthew tells us he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant. I am the scarlet cord. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Why? For the forgiveness of sins. Tie this scarlet cord in the window. And then Christ went to the cross. He laid down his life, the innocent Lamb of God, in our place, dying our death, shedding his innocent blood in our place. And Hebrews 9 tells us Christ entered once for all into the holy places, our great high priest, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. You shall tie this scarlet cord in the window. And that scarlet cord continues, that scarlet thread, all the way through the New Testament. What's the result of the shed blood of Christ? Ephesians 1, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, all of them. Rahab the prostitute, put your name and your sin there in him through the shedding of his blood, the scarlet cord. We have redemption. We have the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. Revelation chapter 1, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins. How? By his blood. Tie the scarlet cord in the window. How many sins has he freed us from? All of them. You say, even mine? Yes, even yours, even mine, the ones everyone knows about. The sins no one knows about. And he has made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Revelation chapter 5, and they sang a new song saying, worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain. And by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. from Jericho, from the Canaanites, from whatever town you've come from whatever your background, out of all these people, God has ransomed a people for himself by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. You shall tie this scarlet cord in your window. Revelation chapter 19, then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. He is a God of war. He is a God who is angry with the wicked. But, verse 13, he is clothed in a robe dipped in blood. And the name by which he is called is the Word of God. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. All sin. All sin. All sin. The blood of Jesus Christ. Tie this scarlet cord in your window. There's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Have you tied the scarlet cord in your window? You have to be under the blood to be saved. You've got to have the cord in the window, visible. You've got to be in the house, in Christ. Those Jews, when the angel of death came through the land of Egypt, they had to be in their house with the blood on the doorposts and the lintel, and then the angel would pass over and they would be spared. In the New Testament, Christ is our Passover lamb. His blood has been shed once and for all. He is the eternal sacrifice for your eternal redemption. But you must be in him. You must be in Christ. By faith, you must have said, Lord, nothing in my hands I bring. Nothing do I have to offer you, no righteousness of my own. Simply to your cross I cling. I hang the scarlet cord of the blood of Jesus outside my window, and I believe that that is sufficient to save me. God's wrath is coming. The walls are going to tumble down. Those who have rejected the truth of God's saving love will be destroyed. They will be judged. Will your house stand when that judgment comes? Will you be spared? If you are, it won't be because you were good. It won't be because of any church membership, or you didn't do certain sins, or you were active in social welfare of others. No, none of that will count. If you are spared in the day of wrath when the walls of this world come tumbling down, it will be for one reason alone, and that is because you have tied the scarlet cord of Jesus Christ and his blood by faith in the window of your heart. And if you have, no matter what you've done, where you've been, what they've called you, Rahab the prostitute will join you and others in giving glory to the Lamb forever and ever, because through Christ our scarlet cord, our lives will have been spared. Amen.
Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth has been pointing all of us toward the cross. Some of us for the first time. Others have known about the saving work of Christ for a long time, but need to be reminded of how significant his death is. If you're in that first group and you're hanging out the scarlet cord for the first time, we'd love to hear from you and encourage your faith as you learn what it means to follow Christ. We'd like to send you some information about your newfound faith. So if you just prayed with Nancy and have found new life, we'll send you this material. It's our gift to you. There's no charge when you call 1-800-569-5959 or go online to reviveourhearts.com to make your request. Women everywhere need this message of full forgiveness. It's a message you'll find in our new Bible study based on Nancy's teaching series, Rahab, Tracing the Thread of Redemption. Our God is a rescuing, redeeming God, and there's no better way to remind yourself of his full forgiveness than by digging deeper into Rahab's life. You can do this study on your own or with friends. This month, as a thank you for your donation in support of Revive Our Hearts, we'll send you a copy of the new study on Rahab. You can donate online at reviveourhearts.com or by calling 1-800-569-5959. Again, 1-800-569-5959. Now, security. No matter how much you invest in security, you'll never totally have it on this earth. Find out what true security means Monday on Revive Our Hearts. Calling you to freedom, fullness, and fruitfulness in Christ. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy DeMoss-Wahlgemuth is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.